Good evening. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Lauren Wheaton, Vice Mayor of the City of Cookeville.
That's a mouthful. Yeah.
Is your official side hustle title.
Yes.
Yes. You have a regular real person job as
yes.
well.
Yes. The council is just considered like a voluntary position.
It's just, you know, like in the entrepreneurial world, we call that a side hustle, where sometimes that the side hustle takes up more of your time.
Yes, it has done that in times.
Then you're right. So what is your regular job? You're sitting here in scrubs right now looking at me.
Yes, I am. Yep. I'm in my scrubs, which is a nice go-to outfit that I get to wear a lot. I'm a nurse practitioner. I work here for Caris Hospice here in town locally, and then I also audit medical charts for United Healthcare. So I actually have two nurse practitioner jobs on top of doing the city council. And then if you want to throw the mom gig in there, which yes. is a full-time, never-ending thing, you know that.
Yes.
So yeah, you know, just four jobs,
you
essentially.
Know, just you know, juggling mm-hmm. it all.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what we do. So you are not a born and raised, born and bred one
nope.
here.
We are transplants. I'm a transplant yes. from Mississippi. Yep.
So how long have you been here now?
2013 is when okay. we moved here. I lived in Nashville for 4.5 years while I got my master's at Vanderbilt and worked there in the ER, and then met my husband, Wade, who's a Cookeville boy, and he actually moved me to Jamestown. Jamestown. We lived in Grimsley, Tennessee.
Oh, I don't even.
Neither did I. It's beautiful country up there.
Ventress County,
yes. Mm-hmm. But we got married and lived up there for a year and then moved to Cookeville.
From Nashville to Grimsley.
Yes.
Grimsley.
That anyone who knows Grimsley knows that is a huge culture shock.
Yeah. Well, what did you grow in Mississippi?
I grew up in Jackson, which okay. is, you know, the state capital. It's a city. It's a larger city. Nothing like Nashville, but you know, it definitely was, larger than Grimsley.
Yes.
So that was
was it like Cookeville size ish or
a little bit bigger than Cookeville?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but not a huge city area.
No,
so.
not Nashville. Nothing like that. I mean, Jackson, you know, Mississippi, unfortunately, is kind of a smaller place anyway.
A lot of rural area.
Yeah. A lot of rural area. You got the Delta, but Jackson is, you know, it's a capital. It's a city. That's where most of the industry and business is. So I grew up there, went to, Ole Miss in Oxford, and then decided that I wanted to get out of Mississippi. And so I moved to Nashville.
The big town of
Nashville. Oh, no. And that's when Nashville, you know, like Nashville was still local. Like Nashville wasn't like it is now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I moved up there, started working in the ER, and decided I wanted to be a nurse practitioner and went back to school and got that done.
So as a kid, you know, you kind of have to, like you said, you have to multiple jobs going on. But did you think that you wanted to get in the medical field? Was that kind of always your dream?
I always knew. I took anatomy and physiology in 10th grade and was just enamored by the way the human body works, how if this happens, this compensates this way. And I thought it was so interesting. I loved it. I knew I was not good at accounting. I was not good at physics. You know, this was definitely where my interest was, what I loved. And our high school had a mentoring program where we could actually go with some of the local, you know, physicians, anybody that was interested in something. We normally had someone who could mentor them in an area they were interested in. And so I actually got to go and work with, he was a family friend of ours who was an ER physician. And so one night I got to go with him into the ER and
that's interesting.
Fell in love. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I don't love when bad things happen, but I love the
put it
energy
in drive,
paced.
Mom.
Yes. Yes. And so I did that and said, yes, I'm going to work in the ER. I'm going to be a nurse and just went from there.
Wow. And then you stuck with it. So
yep.
how often, you know, people change the course of their path a lot. But some people are able to find their passion and their industry early on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you stuck with it.
Nursing. Yes. I've always stuck with nursing. I did emergency room. That was my longest tour, I guess you could say. But in nursing, the great thing is that you can change all the time. There's so many different avenues to be a nurse. So I was an emergency room nurse. Then I did post-op recovery for a little bit just to kind of change it up and then went back to emergency room. And then when I got my master's, I did orthopedics for a little while because I enjoyed sports medicine, orthopedic injuries. I'd broken a few bones. So I kind of knew about that stuff. And then got transitioned into this home care position that they used to have. They don't have it anymore, unfortunately, but I really love that. That's where actually I did the bulk of my nurse practitioner career, was going into the home, seeing these chronically ill patients that had poor access to healthcare. Most of them were lower income and had a lot of hospitalizations. And so we would go into the home and try to, you know, keep them out of the hospital, provide health care that they probably couldn't have access to because they couldn't get to the doctor. They didn't have transportation. We would find out ways to help them get their medications because they couldn't get their medicines. They were paying for the electric bill. It was a really interesting aspect of health care.
Were you doing that here in the Upper Cumberland?
Yep, in the Upper Cumberland.
And so you were able to kind of really get in one-on-one with their life and really impact that. I was kind of thinking to myself, was that adrenaline junkie able to be accessed? But I think you, in a different way.
You are, yeah, because you're actually having to go in and you see the whole picture. So you see why they're not getting their medicines. You see why their health is deteriorating. You see what their barriers to care are. You see what their family dynamic is. And so you have all these, you know, things that you're trying to manage. So essentially it is still kind of this, you know, chaotic management, trying to make everything work like it is in the ER. And so I did. I really like that because you walk into a home and I'm like, okay, I can fix this. I can fix this. We can do something about that. And you're overall impacting, you know, the patient, which is what I really enjoyed.
In case you're just joining us, we have Lauren Wheaton, Vice Mayor of the City of Cookeville. City Council. Oh my gosh, it's such a mouthful.
It really is. I know, yes.
Vice Mayor.
For the City of Cookeville is what
okay.
I say.
Just for the City of Cookeville. But you also are a nurse practitioner and you've done in-home care here in Cookeville. And so we were kind of talking about that. And so, and what are you doing now that, so you're not in home care anymore?
No, unfortunately they did away with that program and it was actually completely divine intervention because I transitioned into a role where I do a lot of work. I work from home now, auditing medical charts, which gives me a lot more flexibility, you know, kind of freedom to have more control over my schedule. And then I also do the hospice part-time, which I love because it still gives me my patient interaction. And hospice is another area that I am very passionate about because I do think end-of-life care is something that does get neglected a lot of times. People don't think about it. A lot of people can't, you know, handle that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can. And so if I can do that, that's definitely an area that I would like to use my expertise. And so doing the hospice does give me that patient connection still that I love. And I just do that, yeah, around here.
So, and what you're known for now over the past couple of years, you've kind of become this, you know, spokesperson, is you are on the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 3 years ago, maybe you decided to run.
Yeah, let's see. Just two, actually. So the election was in 2018, mm-hmm. and I decided to run January of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, this
so
was...
Okay.
Yeah, like this was literally someone brought up to me. They're like, hey, you should run for city council. And I think I was like, oh, you're crazy. Like, yeah. I'm already busy. Like, you know, Kennedy and Palmer, my kids were... 3 and 2, I think, I don't even remember, yeah. But they were younger. I was working, you know, I'd never been in politics. Like my joke is I ran for 7th grade student body vice president and lost horribly and never entered the political realm again. And so I was just like, I don't know what I would be doing, but I started talking to people and next thing you know, someone was like, yeah, you should do it. I'm going to introduce you to this person. And then next person was like, yes, you should do it. I'm going to help you out this way. And it just, I said, doors just kept opening and I just kept praying. I was like, you know, if I'm not supposed to do this, just close a door, just close one and I'll get it and I will move on. And no door was ever closed. They were just flung open. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep walking through these doors.
Well, and at the time, the thing that set you apart is that you were the only female.
I was the only female that ran.
And there was nobody on city council that was a female at the time.
Correct. Either. There has been before. We've had a female mayor. We've had a female vice mayor. We've had female councilmen. But at the time, there were no female councilmen and no other female ran, which kind of, you know, disappointed me because I was like, I know there's some great women in this community who can do this, but it is kind of intimidating. I mean, especially like I said, if you're not in politics and you don't know how to do this and you're not from Cookeville, that's a whole other, you know, area you have to tackle.
Yes. You don't have everybody's mama knows your mama. And so, mm-hmm.
And in fact, people are like, now, where are you from? And, right. You know, the blessing of being married to Wade, his family's from Cookeville. They're well known.
You have that Wheaton name.
I've got, yes, you just throw Wheaton, like, which Wheaton are you? So that did help, but still people, you know, did not know who I was. And, you know, I was kind of younger. I like to say that I'm, you know, younger, but I'm really not.
I mean, compared to some of those other guys. Compared to, yeah.
But then I've got, you know, Eric and Mark who are younger than me, but we kind of got lumped together. But it was intimidating to go out and do that. But the support that I got, and then just having women come up to me too and be like, thank you. Like I saw that too. I was like, well, my perspective is not being represented right now by my city council. I'm a woman, I'm a mom, I'm a healthcare provider, I'm a wife. You know, I think those are four important perspectives that have, you know, important agendas, and it wasn't on city council at the time.
And that perspective of a transplant.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the percentages, but I think that there is a large percentage of transplants here in Cookeville.
Oh, yeah. I would say, yes, huge. And still coming in with the way we're growing.
And transplants that really want to be involved and want mm-hmm. to be plugged in and want to do things here. Mm-hmm. And so our perspective is important. Because,
it is.
You know.
We come from a different background, different area. There's things that we've seen done the right way, things that we've seen done the wrong way. And we can bring that and say, hey, you know, where I'm from, this is what I saw. And I think that's important to have different perspectives. I love that our city council right now is so diverse. We've got someone from every different kind of phase of life right now, I feel like. So each one of us has something that's important to us because that's what, you know, we're dealing with. That's what we're passionate about. So I love the diversity that we have now. Even if I am the only woman on there, you know, I've got a lot to bring to the table, I feel like.
You have a good, a large voice.
Yes, not only am I loud, but yes, I do feel like and it's a lot of pressure too, because I do want to make sure that I'm representing the moms, the wives, the women in transplants in Cookeville. So it does kind of, I want to make sure that everyone knows that voice, if you need me to be that voice for you, I'm happy to do it.
We're going
to
talk more about your campaign and how that all went when we come back from the commercial.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson in Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Lauren Wheaton, Vice Mayor of the City of Cookeville.
You will get it right by the time. Perfect.
I got it good that
time.
There you
go.
So we were talking before about being on City Council and kind of being the woman's voice. What does it feel? Do you feel a little pressure of daughters or young women in the community, too, of kind of being this role model example?
I mean, I definitely do, because I have a daughter, and especially when I was running for campaign, she was of the age that she knew I was doing something. Like, she'd see my name on a billboard and she'd say, Mama, there's your name. Mm-hmm. And then she'd be like, why is your name on that?
Right.
Or why is someone wearing your name on your shirt,
right,
on their shirt? And I was like, well, you know, I'm trying to get people to vote for me because I would like to be in a leadership position. And, you know, at times it was hard because I did miss some things, you know, with my kids. But at the end of the day, I always knew that the end goal was, I'm going to do something that hopefully my daughter can look back one day and be like, you know, my mom did that. My mom showed me that this could be done. My mom showed me that, you know, you can work and you can have a job and you can be a wife and you can be a mom and you can still be a leader in the community.
Well, and that's an interesting, we could go down a rabbit hole with that.
Yeah.
But as women, it's hard sometimes because I don't think that in the South, sometimes, I'm a Northerner. I'm a
yes,
Yankee.
You are. We'll forgive
but,
you.
you know, sometimes it is expected that you're not going to be a woman that works and be successful in your career and at home and be able to do all those things.
Yeah.
Which is a good perspective. Like you were talking about the different perspectives for city council. That is a huge perspective of having that maybe not that typical woman perspective sometimes of this, like, you know, 1950s stay at home. And
which I feel like we're definitely, I feel like our generation is definitely changing that definition that you can be successful in the home, in the workplace, in the community, and all three of those can be combined. You know, I did have people who I'm sure, no offense to any men who ran, but you know, people would come, well, how do you do it with having kids and working? And I'm like, just like everybody else, we all have 24 hours in the day. Like, right. No one's Superman. No one has a superpower. So if I want to do it, I do it. I find
just,
a way.
Right. Yeah, just the same way as everybody else.
As everybody. Yep.
All the men do it.
Exactly. I know. And that was always like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I will say support system wise, I do. I always try to give credit to Wade because he did, you know, I could look at him and be like, hey, I've got to go to something. And he's like, I've got the kids. Don't worry.
Well, and you're kind of saying it past tense of I'm sure the campaign was a lot of pulling on you in a short amount of time, but you're still doing this.
Oh yeah.
You know, I saw you a week or two ago at 3 o'clock at school pickup time. You were going to talk to a robotics group. And so, you know, you have those public quote unquote appearances that, you know, you're this famous.
I would not go that far.
You got to kiss babies and sign autographs.
Yep. And shake hands. Not right now. Not with the coronavirus. No.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's stuff that comes up. I mean, you know, at the drop of a hat, hey, we've got to have a meeting. We've got to do something like this. And I will, I'll call Wade. I've got, you know, my in-laws who live here. So they're a huge help. So having a support system, I don't care who you are, but having a support system, friends, you know, I've called my friends up and been like, hey, can you pick up my kid today? Like, they've got a car tag, because it could happen. So having a support system definitely helps in doing all this. But at the same, and you know, I say no to stuff. There's certain things I'm just like, hey, you know what? It's my daughter's ballet recital this week. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Let me know how I can help in other ways. But I do definitely prioritize and make sure that I don't miss important things for my kids. But you can do it.
And not just your kid, just yourself.
Yes.
I think self-care is really important.
Yep.
And you being in the medical field, I'm sure that you can speak, again, down a rabbit hole on self-care.
Mm-hmm. You do. You have to. I think that's one of the important things of being in a position like this, being a leader in your community, is you have to be able to say no, because otherwise you're going to get yourself so filled up with things. You're not going to be able to do them well. You know, you're just going to be given half of yourself because you're tired or you've got another commitment. So you've got to realize, I can do these things. I can do these things well. If I add on any more, it's going to start to, you know, hurt my productivity. And so be able to say no. It's kind of the same with making decisions with the things that, you know, we do in the community. Like, I'm not going to make everybody happy. And I realize that. But at the end of the day, I've got to do what's best for the city. That's what I was elected to do, was to represent my entire city. You know, we're not district voted. We run at large. So I don't represent one area of the city. I don't represent a party because we're nonpartisan. I am an elected official elected by the people of Cookeville, and my job is to serve them and do what's best for this city.
And for those who don't know, to become vice mayor was just simply that you got the second most amount of votes.
So the way it works, yes, is typically the person who gets mayor will be chosen to, the person who gets the most votes will be chosen to be mayor. The person and the city council actually confirms that, but historically it's always been the person who gets the most votes as mayor, and yeah, the person who gets the second most votes as vice mayor, which I was just, I just wanted to get on city council. That was my only goal. I wanted to get on and serve. And so getting vice mayor, it was a shock. I couldn't think, I was like, thank you for, you know, voting me into this position. But I was shocked, again, not being from Cookeville, first time running for an office and getting that.
But again, to be transparent with everything, you and Mayor Ricky Shelton have the same amount of votes as,
oh, yes. As yes. Ever. On the city council. Yes. We all have the same amount of voting power. You know, no one supersedes the other. The mayor does have some more like responsibilities in terms of serving on boards and things like that.
And like you said, and you're pulled to do other things. And, mm-hmm. and so you have more responsibilities, but you don't have any more say over anybody else.
We all have one vote, and each one of those votes counts the same. And that is the way our city management is, or our city government is set up. We are a city council, city manager run government, where our city manager does most of the day-to-day operations. And the city council, we come together and help make those big decisions and vote on things like that. We also, you know, have initiatives. There's things that we bring to the table that we want to see done, see if that can happen and things like that. But yeah, we are, you know, there's five of us, and we're all, you know, when it comes to city council and a city council meeting, we're all, you know, we all got one vote.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I have Lauren Wheaton, vice mayor for the city of Cookeville. And so where's any important talking points? Where's the city council going? What's on the agenda for the next quarter?
You know, well, we've got budget planning. That'll be coming up. So that'll be a huge issue where we sit down with all the department heads. They tell us their needs, things they're, you know.
Have you gone through the budget planning before?
I've gone through one and that,
I was going to say, how much for Lauren Wheaton, not the city council, not like vice mayor, Lauren Wheaton, how hard is that for you?
That, I mean, it's amazing to see how well, and I will say this every time anyone asks me, our city is amazing because everyone works so well together. You never have one department that's like, well, I want a new building, and so all y'all are going to have to suffer because I want this. No, every single department works together to keep their budget in place. That, you know, they prioritize their needs of things they want, and that's why the city works, because at the end of the day, they all want the best thing for the city. They don't want to supersede anything. So going through the budget process was amazing because every department turned in their numbers, and everything was, you know, under budget, and this is what we're looking for, and you know, if this happens, we'd love to get this, but we know that, you know, that's a want, not a need, that kind of stuff. So it was amazing to see that. It was also amazing to see all of the time and effort that goes into that. I don't think people know how much it costs to run a city. Right. You know, people are always like, well, I want this, I want that, and I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Are you ready to pay for it? Because, you know, while the city, we do generate most of our money from sales tax, you know, there's still a lot of stuff out there that needs to get done that we, you know, we've got to put money away to save for things. And that is why we did, you know, raise taxes last budget. And we did it because Cookeville is growing. Everybody knows that. And what is the one thing that everyone complains about in Cookeville? Traffic. That kind of stuff. And so we knew moving forward that this was going to be a problem that was probably going to continue to grow. And in order to be proactive and prepare for that, we did do a tax increase because we wanted to take a certain percent of funds and put it in a specific kind of pay-as-you-go account. So when these little projects come up, little things that we can do for road improvements, sidewalks, bike paths, walkability, that kind of stuff, we've got that fund already set up that we can just take the money out. We don't have to issue a bond for it, and we can go and do a project. So a lot of the stuff we do, while people at the, you know, may be like, why are you doing this? I promise you, everyone at the city, we are looking ahead towards the future and seeing what's happening with Cookeville, and we are being proactive and want to make sure we're prepared for it and don't get, you know, blindsided by something.
Do you see yourself running again? So it's every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Election. Mm-hmm. Do you plan on running again?
I do. If people will have me, I would be honored to serve this city.
You can run without backing, right? Like
you. All you have to do is get 25 signatures on a petition.
There's probably 25 people in this building right now that you could.
Hopefully I could find 25. Yes, I did the first time. Hopefully I could find 25 again. But yeah, I have loved it. I feel like I still have a lot to learn. I still feel like I have a lot to give for the city. And you know, this is my home. This is Cookeville stuck with me, whether they want to be or not, is what I always say. Like, this is where we're raising our family. This is where I'm putting down roots. And I feel like I have an obligation to take part in the success of the city of Cookeville. And I've really enjoyed what I've gotten to do so far. I feel like I've got a lot more to do. So yeah, I definitely plan on running and hopefully we'll be able to serve again.
And it's going to be in 2022. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 2 years. How can people find you, Lauren Wheaton? Are you on LinkedIn, Facebook?
Or? I'm on LinkedIn. I forget I'm on LinkedIn sometimes. Okay. Because unfortunately, most of the time, our biggest platform is Facebook to get information out. So Facebook, yeah, I'm on there.
And you have a Lauren Wheaton Vice Mayor page.
I have a Lauren Wheaton Vice Mayor page. And then also my personal page is pretty much where I have the best outreach, I think, in terms of getting in touch with people. So
do you feel like, if I see you at dinner and I want to tell you that I need my road widened, you know, and you're on Interstate Drive, can I come talk to you?
Yes, I want you to, because that's what if I don't know, how can I fix it?
Right.
So yeah, if you see me out, you know, reach out to me on Facebook, and people do message me, and you know, friends come up to me and say stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, well, let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
No, that's what I do. If I don't know what's going on, I can't fix it. And that's what I'm a representative. I'm here for you. So yes, if you see me out, come ask me. I may not be able to do anything about it, but I can at least find out about it and see if there is something to be done. But, you know, don't hold me to fixing everything because I definitely can't do that.
But you're wearing the badge of serving this community.
Yeah. And that's what I'm. Yeah. I mean, I would never be upset or offended if someone came up to me because you may not see me again and be like, oh, hey, I need to ask, you know, the vice mayor or something. Yeah. So please do. Yes, that's what I'm here for. And I like that because I feel like getting to know people in our community just makes me that much more aware of what needs to happen in our city. And then I hope it makes people feel like they've got someone to talk to and come to if they have something.
Well, and I think it gives you it'll allow you to connect other people Yes. that need each other too.
Oh yeah. And I actually love doing that. Like, you know, I've gotten to be on the Healthier Cookeville Committee and the Family Justice Center Board and helping out with things like, you know, Earth Day and, you know, the Made Here More, like all the stuff that we're doing. So I've really enjoyed getting to really, you know, dig down deep into the city and all these little things that the city does and get to help out with that. So that makes me learn more about the city too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It was great having you and learning a little bit about the old Miss little Mississippi girl here in Cookeville.
Yep. Mississippi girl in Cookeville. Yep.
Thank you.